Well, a hack is something that makes your life easier. At least that's the slang version today. A hack is not, we're not talking about a computer hacker or something like that. But a hack is something that makes your life better. And in some cases, it is a better way to do a common thing. And so I was praying about just kind of how to illustrate this. I always say to Jesus on Monday morning, I look at the scripture passage for the coming Sunday, and one of my prayers almost always is, Lord, give me an experience of your word. And then he said to me, Andy, tell First Methodist Houston the proper way to dice an onion. So here we go. I brought one. We believe in being well-rooted here at First Methodist Houston. That's just a good joke any way you slice it. There is a proper way to do this, and for years I did not know what it was. I mean, as you know, I like to cook, but I just kind of went at it, just kind of mangled an onion. But there is a proper way to dice an onion, and if you learn nothing else today at First Methodist Houston, I want you to know what it is. If you lose this, go Google it, YouTube it, your life in the kitchen will change forever. The key is to keep the root intact. Cut it halfway, just exactly half, but cut it through the root and to let the root hold the two halves of your onion together. You then peel it, okay? And then as you cut it, make a sort of horizontal kind of cut across the plane of the onion. You can do one or two, depending on how large the onion is. And then go the vertical direction and then cut against the grain. And if you do that, you will have what you see in the third panel. This will change your life forever, and you will eat better as a result. I can dice an onion in about 30 to 45 seconds. I am a Jedi master at this, all right? And what I will tell you is it'll change the way you live, in the sense that if you see a recipe and it says dice the onion, dice the carrot, dice the celery, you'll say, I've got this, we covered the onion today, what do you think the next 2 weeks will be about? It's a hack, but knowing the right way to do it changes everything. I had some people, we used the same sermon at 9 o'clock. I always say, if you think the sermon's bad at 11 downtown, you should have heard it 9 out west. It was even worse. But I had people come to me and say, I didn't know how to do that. I'm going to go home and practice it. That's the idea. When you know the hack, your life gets easier. And what Proverbs is for us, it's an interruption. It's a hack. It's a way of saying scripturally to us, there's a better way to use your words. Take advantage. The proverb is simply is this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not just good and evil, not just right and wrong, not just holiness or sinfulness, but I don't know that there are two stronger words the proverb could choose. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I think hinting that if we use our words well, they will be sweet and we will enjoy the harvest that they bring, or if we choose our words poorly, they will be sour. What we surround ourselves with depends upon the words that we use. Think back this week. My guess is that there is some moment this week, if you think about it and just kind of ask Jesus to lead your thoughts, there is a word, perhaps, that we regret, a word that somebody didn't deserve. Maybe it was not coming from the best place within us, out of maliciousness, pride, or maybe envy, just being rude, whatever it is. There was a word that just didn't need to come out of our mouth, and I remember as a youth pastor, I would give the youth example all the time to say, our words are like toothpaste. They come out of the tube fine, right? But getting them back in once they're out, that's tough. Because the word has done damage or the word has caused distance. And maybe if there's a word like that, we need to spend some time in prayer today about how we might fix or redeem that situation. The opposite is also true. And that words can cause joy, and words can cause us to be remarkably fulfilled. Words can bring peace. You know, my son likes to say, "I gotcha, bro." And he means that kind of in a way to say, "I got your back." And that brings a certain amount of peace to know that he's looking over my shoulder. Words can go either direction. And we know this and we experience this all the time. I mean, if I threw out some words today, you would respond in a variety of ways. Like if I said, root canal. Anybody go, "Yay!" The dentist in the crowd do, right? Yeah. If I throw out other words, liver and onions for lunch. I don't know. But if I throw out other words, it's like free chocolate chip cookies at First Methodist Houston. Yeah. That's, you know, the kind of thing that just we react instantly to the word, whether we realize it or not. And this is part of what I think Proverbs is getting at with us, is to say, Scripture knows that we are sort of pre-wired to react a certain way, and what can happen is that initial reaction isn't necessarily the holiest one. And so Scripture kind of wants to hack into our lives a little bit. It wants to hit a reset button in us and say, remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I could throw out further words to show how this not only affects us, but it affects our nation and our world. I don't know if I'm feeling dangerous today or not, but I watched the State of the Union this week. And if I threw out some words, I think they'd get a reaction. Like if I said Nancy Pelosi, there'd be a certain reaction. If I said Donald Trump, there'd be a certain reaction. And I don't want to get into politics today, but I watched the State of the Union, and I saw our president, I saw our vice president, I saw the Speaker of the House, and I just didn't get a sense that there was a lot of love in the room. I just didn't get the sense that those are three people praying for each other. Like, maybe Lord bless and keep them far away from me, but that doesn't count as a prayer, does it? No. You see, Jesus calls us to have another standard. And so when we think about what he said, things like pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, our words make a difference. And what I worry about sometimes is we fall into this crowd mentality. I've been like you have to several games of the Houston Rockets or the Houston Texans, and something will happen where the referees blow a call. They miss it bad. And never have I heard, when I've attended these events, the whole crowd just begin to pray for wisdom for the referee. That doesn't happen. No. In fact, it's insults. It's terrible. And it's, to me, it's always been a great example. You know, when I've seen this happen, I was at the Rockets game on Christmas Day, and there was a heckler two rows behind us. And to be honest, I mean, he was like having rocks in your shoe or scraping the chalkboard. Just his presence just managed to want us to all go away because he was heckling the referees to no end. And so finally, I just began to pray for him in my Christmas sweater watching the Rockets. I just prayed for him. And then you know what happened? Security came and escorted him away. It wasn't what I was looking for, okay? I was kind of hoping there'd be a change of the heart there, but you see, our words matter. They impact us. They repel us. And the truth is, they do the same things with each other. And I think to a certain degree with Jesus. When the wrong word comes out of our mouth, Jesus has to pause and say, "I love you, but that's not it." But when the right word comes out of our mouth, I think the Holy Spirit has a chance to rush in. And so what I'm wondering today, is there a way that you and I could sort of hack our lives so that the best words are the ones that we say either exclusively or at least the most? So maybe pick a word. Pick a holy word. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy, self-control. What's a word that you want to say a lot this week? And could you just sort of make a commitment, just start talking to Jesus now and say, "Jesus, this week, I want this word to that come out of my mouth a lot, and then see what change that produces. What if you, I'm notorious at this, is that, you know, I'll wake up and begin my day and I start thinking about all the things I got to do, meetings I got to be in, people I'm going to see that day. And I start thinking everything in terms of a business. What if you got in the way of that? What if you hacked that a little bit? And when you're in a meeting, maybe it's a person you know, maybe it's a person you don't know well. But what if you did said something like, you know, I got up this morning and I was thinking about all the people today, and I want you to know I was praying for you today. I don't know what about, but I was just praying for you. And I hope that you are living an awesome and blessed day. And if there's anything that I can pray for you about, if you will let me know, I will so gladly do that. I imagine in a lot of our settings, church included perhaps, that would take somebody aback. But I hope in a great way. And that I find when I do that with somebody, if the Holy Spirit prompts me or if I'm just living right, what happens is that a seed gets planted in that person, that there's an avenue to have a deeper conversation. There's somebody is that cares about me today. There's somebody that took the time to pause and to pray for me. If you take that time this week, good things will surround you. The scripture tells us that it's the life we want here. The power of life is in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. If we use these words and use them well, then what can surround us is awesome. Now, it's tough to do. You know, there are things that get in the way. And so this might be where some other hacks come in handy. One of the things that I've programmed, we have in our house, we have an Alexa. It's Alexa's sort of an adjunct member of the family, I guess. But one of the things I have programmed Alexa to do is that when I get up in the morning, it's like I go about my routine, but eventually I will turn to Alexa and I will say, Alexa, what's up? Everybody who's listening to this sermon online is so wishing I had not said this, right? But I'll say, Alexa, what's up? And then she'll say, good morning. Here is your Bible verse of the day. And then she will read to me whatever verse she's chosen. Now, it's a little strange when it comes from Leviticus, and she was reading from Job the other day, and she called it the book of Job. Small flaw. Small flaw. But if we hack our day so that it begins with Scripture, I think that sets the stage for the words we use to be right. In other words, if you take the time in that morning to say, I want to get off to the right start. Maybe it means getting up 5 minutes early, but it's worth it. Take the time to set your day on the right course. Remember that New Year's resolution you made to be holier? And now it's kind of waning, isn't it? You can get it back by simply just kind of hacking into your day and starting it off with God's word. If that happens, good things can change. You see, sometimes we got to change our routine in order that we live the life that we want. You know, I've been sharing with you guys just because that's how it goes. You know, I've been on an exercise kick lately. It's going pretty well. But you learn some things if you try to develop a new habit. And one of the things that I've done this for years now is to say, when I get on the treadmill to run or if I'm running outside, I never want to run. I don't feel it in me. I'm not rejoicing that God has given me the chance to do this. I do not want to run. But what I'll convince myself to do is to start. And then I have a rule that says I can't quit in the first 4 minutes. I find that if I make it 4 minutes, I'm warmed up, I don't hurt as bad, and I have a better chance of finishing the route. I also have a second rule, and that is I can't quit when I'm running uphill. If I'm running uphill, I got to finish the hill. If I get over the hill and I'm going downhill and I want to quit, I'll think about it. But I can't quit in the first 4 minutes, and I can't quit going uphill. Maybe you need to kind of interrupt your routine a little bit to say, you know what? I'm going to start. I'm going to start by the next week spending time with Scripture first thing in the day, maybe last thing in the day too. And if that week happens, then set a goal for the next week. And then sooner or later, what happens is a habit is there and it becomes second nature to us. Now, granted, I'm still waiting for that to happen when it comes to running, but you see the idea. Sometimes we've just got to set a good course so that the words we say later in the day can be better. You know, words have power, and they have an amazing capacity to attract or to repel. And so, you know, as you think about this, I pray you'd give some thought to that. One of the things, or one of sort of the, I guess, the hacks in our life is that when Deborah agreed to marry me, it's a day that was monumental in a great way for me and a questionable way for her, I think. But God kind of sent her to help me out. And one of the things she does is she listens to the words that I say. And she will let me know when there's a word that I'm either saying too much, right, or not enough. Now, we do have a slight rule that goes with that, in that nobody can criticize the sermon in the first 60 minutes after I get home. Okay, 60 minutes for an hour, that thing was perfect. It was beautiful. The angels sang. They're going to publish it in the book of Acts. It was awesome. All right? But minute 61, anything is fair game. And over the years, Deborah has told me, it's like, there are certain things you're saying that are goofy. There are certain things you're saying that are incomplete. There are certain words you need to change. You're doing a gesture too much. You need to stop. And I have a confession to make. Over the years, she is almost always right. You know, there's a different word that I need to use. And you need to realize that this has power. Jesus did the same for us. Put Matthew 15 on the screen. Words have such an ability to bring us together or to drive us apart. And this is what Jesus was talking about in his day. He said, listen and understand. What goes in someone's mouth does not defile them. In other words, we are not made unholy by what goes into us. All of us are going to catch a variety of things, words, images, some of which are good, some of which are bad, some of which are holy, some of which are evil. It is not what goes into us that defiles us, but what comes out of the mouth is what defiles you and me. It's what we do with it. It's the response that we make. And so when Jesus opens that scripture by saying, listen and understand, I think what undergirds his teaching there is this remarkable power about what comes out of our mouth. And all of us are going to encounter people we don't like. We're going to encounter people that we feel an affinity to. We're going to have situations that challenge us in good ways and trying ones. But it's what comes out of our mouth by which the holiness is judged. This is remarkable power. If we want to take this one step further, you can go to the Gospel of John in the beginning, John chapter 1. Let's go ahead and put it on the screen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, right? I've always thought that's such an interesting choice for the Gospel of John to make. In the beginning was the Word, not the Son, although that will soonly come, not God the Creator, like in Genesis chapter 1. But as the Gospel of John kind of begins to move and to tell us the story of Jesus, the first thing the Gospel of John wants to tell us is that it's the Word that always was, is today, and always will be. When I read that passage, sometimes I've reflected on it and say, you know, I don't know that our words today maybe have quite that power, but what I think that scripture in part wants to tell us is that our words will be remembered, our words will be heard today, and our words will shape tomorrow. And when we think about that gift we have from God to use, that tool of communication we have with others and Him, and we think about the influence and the majesty that that gift has, maybe if we hold John 1 in the back of our minds, we will speak more responsibly and realize the influence that we have. Think of it this way. And one of the things that's happened is Deborah and I, we moved downtown, as you know, about 6-7 months ago. And one of the things I've done in the past is I've ridden motorcycles, but I haven't been brave enough to ride my bike downtown. And the reason is because people in Houston do not drive like Jesus. Let's just put it that way, right? So I've been a little scared, but the weather's going to start getting a little warmer, amen? And there's some spring days that are going to happen, and there are going to be some beautiful days out there and some blue sky, and I'm thinking it's time to get back on the motorcycle and ride. In fact, do we have a picture? Give me the modern picture. Yeah, there you go. Oh, baby. You know, if I get to heaven and they give me a harp, I'm going to say, could I have that? You know, I don't really want the harp, but that's awesome. And, you know, here's the thing about a bike is that it is so finely balanced. It is so finely tuned. And it's the way with a cycle, too, just when you pedal. These things are so crafted with such, you know, specific engineering that the slightest push, just the slightest push, will turn it one direction or the other. But the truth is, it's a little counterintuitive. On a motorcycle, if you're riding, and if you take the left and you push out so that the front wheel turns right, you will actually turn left. So you push left, and you'll go left, and if you push right, even though it turns the front wheel to the left, you will go to the right because your balance, the center of balance, shifts just so slightly. It is so finely tuned on my Harley Davidson, the official bike of heaven, amen, amen, that I can almost just think it, and it'll go. That's how much power the gesture has. Our words, we can get rid of that now, have even more so. In that what comes out of our mouth is heard. Maybe at the baptism you thought back if you have kids. And, you know, as you raise your children, when they start to grow, they enter this phase where they hear everything you say, don't they? And then they learn to talk and they repeat it back. And when our children did this, I was stunned at some of the things they heard their parents say, most of those coming from their father. All God's people said, oh, no. But all you got to do is look at the innocent face of a kid and realize just how much these things matter. So I hope that in the week that's before us, you'll kind of take this hack of ours to heart, because the scripture says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And the truth is, while Jesus is there to guide, and the Holy Spirit will be with us to fill us, the decision will be ours. Either what comes out of our mouth builds up others, or it pushes people away. And the truth is, we will know the difference because one will taste sweet and the other not. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for today. We ask that we would take the simplest of reminders and use it well. There is so much power in what we say to one another. And I pray that you would put it upon our hearts about what the word is that you need us to be this week. What is the word we need to say to someone that we love, someone close to us? Maybe it's a word they haven't heard from us in a long time. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe there was somebody this week, random perhaps to us, but not to you, we know, where we need to say something, put a hand on a shoulder, and just say, I am praying for you, and I want you to know that I'm just praying that you are blessed and encouraged this week. Jesus, you are always there to help us, and for that we are grateful. We pray that you will instruct us, help us to see how you are the word that we need to know, and that in our relationship with you, you will guide us so that at times, we will find the words that we say are not necessarily completely ours, but they are also yours. We remember this as we say together the words you taught us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing.